Our hearts have been stirred this week as we've thought upon tremendous subjects before us. We thought about dispensations that God in his wisdom has worked out in ways so marvellous beyond all our understanding. He's given us his precious word to learn about these wonderful things. As we've come now finally through the ages to the special time in which we live, the days of God's grace, when the heart of God has been made manifest to us in the most marvellous way, and we through the power of the Holy Spirit been able to understand something of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. This afternoon, we were engaged with the tremendous thoughts of the Word of God. I wanted just to go through a few things which impressed me. Just turned, first of all, to one or two statements of Scripture which I'd like to emphasize. The first is in Romans chapter 6, only a part of the verse. The first part of verse 1, what shall we say then? And chapter 8, verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? Now we turn over to the chapter we had, the verse we had this afternoon, Romans 16. This is part of verse 26. According to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Now in Ephesians, again, just a few verses that struck into the core of my heart. Verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? Next chapter, chapter 2, verse 7. In the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 8. Unto me, and less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Then, in the verse we had this afternoon, verse 19 of chapter 3, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. You will be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him they will do exceedingly abundantly what we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. These things came home with great power. To think that we able to end these things which are so exceedingly wonderful, so exceedingly great, exceedingly magnificent, preach to us, enter into thoughts of eternal purpose of God. Great are these things. There's a Scots saying which we often hear better felt than taught. There's also another scripture which says, every heart knoweth his own bitterness, anger intermeddleth not with his joys. In the depths of our beings, thou wilt express But we know one thing, that God knows. The Lord knows. He appreciates every heart, every that beats, shall we say, for our Lord Jesus Christ. Passeth all understanding, the love of our Lord Jesus. Paul said, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He was, don't we? Called himself the chief of sinners. So he's not worthy to call apostle. He said, the Son of God loved me, gave himself for me. Up and there in the special ministry of the Apostle Paul, he preached in the synagogue that he was the Son of God. Son. We were occupied with that wonderful 24 Genesis twice. It's been on my heart since then. We get the three parts of the Godhead in that chapter. It says very plainly, the steward, servant of his house, I think it says, whose hands all his goods are, all the goods of Abraham, were in the hands of the servant. Had a son at his old age, he had given to him all he had. Abraham had everything. The son had everything in his hands, and the son had everything in his hands. What impressed me was, as we think of that wonderful, wonderful incident, the greatness of divine persons working, a bride, shall we say, for Christ. He might have a companion, his kind. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. And came, you know. We don't want to enlarge upon it because we've had it already. This is the thought which has been upon me, which is the cross of the matter to be, was woe with this man. Wilt thou go with this man? What it mean to her? A stranger. Out with a wonderful way. Which God had worked, he known who was to be the bride of Isaac. It was of God. They all said, the mother and the brother said, it's of the Lord. We don't know. We know very well that Laban had idols. That place. The thing is with this man. You know, it's a servant. It wasn't a servant that she was occupied. She was going with a servant. She was going with Isaac. Words of the gospel. Will thou come to the Lord Jesus, your Saviour? I think there's more than that. I think this is the Christians. Will thou go with man? Go with him. I want to pass on for a moment and come back to it. In Hebrews chapter 11. Woman received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. They might obtain a better resurrection. Others were cruel mockings, scourgings, yea, moreover bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, in dens, in caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we are also encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Peter's epistle. First epistle, Peter. Chapter 1, verse 7. The trial of your faith, much more precious than of gold that perisheth, be tried afar, and might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom have you not seen ye love? Whom on earth ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of the glory. Receive the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, which prophesy the grace that should come unto you, searching what of what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, to testify beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed, not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird the loins, be sober, hope the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'd like to refer again just once more to Ephesians, because we get the same word used, actually. I read, gird the loins of your mind. I read those verses this afternoon. Eyes of your understanding, your heart being enlightened. Let the first of all bring before you, God, me, some of the wonders of Jesus Christ. The wonder of those things that we've had this afternoon, which have been brought across very ably and very exactly by our dear brethren that took part in the readings. But as many can't understand, there's here amongst us that have gone into it very deeply. We're very thankful for it. Some of us perhaps simply, I want to think about the reality of them, the wonder of them. I want to bring it, if I press something of that which at times these things dawn upon soul. The marvel of grace should, as it were, enable us by the power of His Spirit. I've always mentioned, but I want to impress upon you, as I want to impress upon my own self, which is ours. Tiny creature, what are we? I've been in fact at readings, me and my wife have been reading Job. None of them in the earth. One that feared God and chose evil. But you know, I'm vile. Abhor myself, repent in dust and ashes. Are we? That God should send one into the world to bring us into all of heaven. Him, in hope we lift our wishful longing eyes and look beyond this little life altogether. See a man at God's right hand, one who's there in the glory
there to prepare a place for. And all that we heard this afternoon, how much do they affect us? What is the hope of his calling? Hope of his calling. Our dear brother directed us part of the chapter of Ephesians 1. The hope, but it's the hope of his calling. What does that mean, the hope of his calling? I think what we had in our hymn, as we wait to see the morning star rise, we're going to be with him. All these things that we said, they're for God's pleasure, they're for the Lord's honour, and for his satisfaction, we come in by the way of blessing. It's our hope. We hope. We hope the calling is called by his grace, called where it's going to end, in the glory with him. Oh, to see the Saviour's face, to see him in all his glory, see our precious Saviour, the one indeed who was scarred for us, the one indeed who was wounded for our transgression, who bore our sin in his own body on the tree, our precious Saviour. To see him, to be with him, and like him, ever and forever. Oh, the wonder of it, the satisfaction of his own blessed heart. But dear beloved brethren, we had this afternoon the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We're going to be with him. We're going to share it with him in it. The thing that we could share with this blessed one, the one in whom the whole of Scripture speaks. He could say, they are they which testify of me. The one who is in the Father's bosom for all eternity. The Son of his bosom. The one who is manifest here in this world. The one indeed who loved us so much. That eternal love of his. That love which passes all understanding. We have to know the height, depth and breadth. Oh, to think that we can. God has given us by his Holy Spirit. We can take in these things. Only we know very well they're beyond understanding. They're so vast, they're so exceeding, so great. Yet God in his wonderful grace has given us it by his wonderful wisdom, understanding. That was the verse. I would like to read it in Romans chapter 11, which has been going over my thoughts. And if we can share this thing together, brethren, that's in Romans chapter 11, verse 33. It's really relating to what we've been having this week. All the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, his ways past finding out. Who have known the mind of the Lord, who have been his counselor, who have first given to him, and it shall be recompensed to him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory ever and ever. And then I might just go on the next verse. I beseech you therefore, brethren, for the mercy of God. He really wants to come down. Was, I think, us as to these things. I'd like to turn now to Hebrews again. Sorry, moving about a bit, but these thoughts fill my heart. I'd like to just pass them on very briefly. We thought these men of old, these men in the old dispensations, not in the day in which we live, God has provided some better thing for us. They without us should not be made perfect. But indeed we find Abel, by faith Abel. We see Enoch, Noah, Abraham. And we see all the way down. They hadn't got the knowledge that we have. They couldn't understand these precious things. Even angels don't understand them. Never get rid of the words I spoke about. They were tortured. Not accepting deliverance. They wandered here. So forth. we read it over and over again. But there was a rare thing. These were persons. They passed through it. We're talking about John the Baptist. He is great in the kingdom of God. He is greater than he. But John the Baptist, you know, he had good skin. His meat was locusts and wild honey. So many great cloud of witnesses. Lay aside every weight. And the sin which does so easily beset us. Oh, how easy these things are. We're a sinful world. You know, we become so we say, tarnished with it. This world is getting awful, more awful all the time. And we are inclined to be dragged into it. We have been drawing these wonderful blessings. We have got to know some of the marvelous thoughts of God. Yet, we need to be so careful. Sin doth easily beset us. We all know that, don't we? Sin is all around us, everywhere. But how about the weights? They're not exactly sin, but they're weights. But hold us back. Hold us back from going in for these precious things. Hold us back from the sweetness of enjoyment of the precious things of heaven which God is pouring out upon us. Think about, again, Rebecca. Wilt thou go with this man? Where will the blessed Lord go? 2 chapter 4. There was Isaac laid upon an altar. What did Isaac think? Did you lay there? Probably blindfolded, tied, bound. What were the thoughts of Isaac? Did you lay there? Oh, we think of that. Take now thy son, thy only son, whom thou lovest. We know it's found a substitute, our blessed Lord. Will thou do this man? You know, it's in the scripture. She lighted from her camel. I was reading with Albie. She sprung from a camel. We're those who are chosen before the foundation of the world. These blessed are all ours. What does he mean to us? Do we long to be with him? Do we hang on to this world? Do we say, depart with Christ, which is far better? Do we want to be here? Do we want to be with him? I know we could say, to be more needful for you. Perhaps we've all feel, perhaps the Lord's got something more for us to do. Are we ready? Do we long to be with our blessed, precious Saviour? Is the thing of this world, are they weights that hold us back? What is, as we read this precious, as we have unfolded here this afternoon, the wonder, the marvel of God's thoughts, starting his church. This man, it was a long journey, it was a wilderness, but end in view. Yes. There's an end. Do we know much about the troubles and troubles? We know, you know, many of our dear brethren are persecuted terribly. They're suffering for you. Read of the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. And Peter said, if we suffer according to the Lord, but not be ashamed. How thankful we are that in this land we haven't to suffer in that way. We're not persecuted exactly. We know that those are suffering. Even this land is those that have persecution in many ways. And the Bible says if anyone will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We're living in the days of persecution. How much do these things mean to us? That is the point I want to come to. You know, very feelingly, because we feel the Lord's hand has been heavy upon us. We feel that many of these precious things which we've been enjoying for many years, when men of God have searched them out for us, we're in a Laodicean era. We become very easily Laodicean. We say we're Philadelphian, we are Laodicean, because we say we're rich and increased with goods. We can't claim anything. Claim we have a wonderful Savior. Have the Holy Spirit to be with us and to keep us. We need to be kept close to our precious Savior. We need to be here for His honor, for His glory. We need to let these precious things we've had this week search through our souls. Think of those dear servants of old. Very little at all of the things that we know. The dear ones in the Hebrew chapter 11. Men of faithful men left the home. Abraham, get out and go. I was thinking, chapter 16, the obedience of faith. He said, take thy son. And Abraham obeyed. Boy, it was faith. And we should be obedient. I'm not casting stone at anyone. I know my own heart. I know my own weakness. I'm with it, in it. And I'm not trying to put myself up at all in no way. I realize more than anyone the weakness of my own heart and how little these things really grip my soul. Think of what they are. Think of the wonder of them. Think of the blessedness, the preciousness, the thoughts of God towards us. And may God bless us. May our hearts be stirred. May we seek by grace to realize we've come about with a great cloud of witness. To realize there's those faithful men gone on before. There's those, not only those that Old Testament, but in the days in which we live, there's many suffering at this time. There's many faithful martyrs that millions upon millions, I suppose, or thousands upon thousands have been burned at the stake, or Spanish Inquisition, things like that. And we're, in the days in which we live, may we give all we can. We could have read, we did mention, of course, we could have read on in Ephesians where it says, I, a prisoner, beseech you that you walk worthy of the Lord. How does it say? Time's going very quick. Don't want to be any longer. Just pass it on, brethren. Now it says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, you walk worthy of the vocation, with your call, and so on, and so on, and so on. But leaving the possibility, dear brethren, Romans chapter 12, again we say, indeed, we can't all repeat these things. I seek you therefore by the compassions of God, present your body a living sacrifice, acceptable in God, which is your reasonable service, intelligent service. It's the proper thing. It's proper Christianity. And dear brethren, it's so easy to slip, to gently slide, not realizing we're sliding the wrong way. We're not keeping in the path of God's will. These things are not filling our souls. We get cold if we aren't very careful. May God stir our hearts up. May these precious things be a blessing to each of us. Amen.